20. Help wanted, yeah. Help wanted. Richard's
wants a helper.
Richard does.
A
maybe Sophie will in the future.
Is that a spoiler?
Yes, it is.
Sophie, who we meet in this episode, Sophie's music shop.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No way.
Spoiler.
No, she won't.
She won't want help?
Oh, okay.
That's what I said. What did you think I said?
I thought you said maybe Sophie will be Richard's secretary. It's ridiculous.
No, Carole King as
Carole King.
Richard's
Carole King.
Well, we'll get to it.
We'll get into it.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're
the Gilmore Guys.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, I feel like in the last just couple of days, there's been an overwhelming amount of fan art. Don't you think?
Yes, there has.
We've had some bomb.com renderings by people. There was one, Aisling Hagerup, who is... at Fight Clump on Instagram.
Good name.
And then I think she's Michael Soft at Michael Soft 98, which is a pun I only got like hours later after she tweeted at us. Made an amazing cartoon rendering of the both of us that we posted to our Twitter and Instagram. Oh, we're on Instagram now, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should plug that. Whoever it was that was controlling that, thank you. We still don't know who you are. We never exchange names. That's true. But they gave us all the login info, and now we control the Instagram. This is more of a where you tweet, I will follow segment thing, but we are at Gilmore Guys Show on Instagram now. So follow us there. Where we, Graham, you will follow.
We're just going to change it. We're going to change it for every social network when we
That's
say
right.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg style. If you have invented Instagram, you would have invented Instagram. I'm a weirdo, but I'm also really articulate.
When I'm coming back, I'm not coming back for 20%. I'm coming back for everything.
So lawyer up, bro. Doesn't say bro.
He doesn't say bro.
You can quote the whole movie?
I think I could.
How many times have you seen it?
Maybe three, but it's one of my favorite movies.
It's great.
It's such a good movie. We're talking about The Social Network.
Yeah.
That's this podcast.
Also, it's The Social Network podcast. The other artist rendering I want to point out real quick was the nice chicken drawing. Nice chicken that Alex K at Sadly Laughowitz on Twitter made us a beautiful pencil sketch of the nice chicken, like just gorgeous,
exactly like Dean,
really gorgeous and like really, really lovely. So thank you to that stuff is always so overwhelming and amazing, and I'm glad Demi demands it every week out of all of our
I do not demand it. I do. I don't.
It's kind of like every time you're saying I don't demand it, it's like a subtweet, meaning I do demand it. Or no, subtweet's about a person, right? Am I getting the terminology wrong?
Yeah.
Applying it to a podcast, whatever.
It's not how that works. A subcast? No.
Yeah.
It's not a real thing.
By the way, one thing I've learned is after listening to the Sean Clements episode 219, which as of right now, as of recording this, hasn't come out yet.
But as of hearing this, it has. And
yes.
It's great.
And it was wonderful. And you guys loved all 2 hours of it.
Oh, my God.
Hashtag Sean is great. That's the hashtag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We got to get a new hashtag for every episode.
Every ep. And, but one thing I noticed while listening to it and editing it back is my voice was real scratchy on that episode.
Really?
And I link it to, I was so jazzed about recording the podcast that night. I was listening to a lot of music and singing along in the car.
Were you listening to sketch going ski bop 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 ski bop 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 bop? And then your voice is just like, oh, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I was singing as Louis Armstrong the whole car right there.
Oh, well, that's not a good way to do it.
So now I kind of put myself on vocal rest before we. Now, by the way, is this episode starting from now on?
You're like Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm. I'm a firework.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Speaking of Katy Perry, we should address the fact that our guest Joe Biden is not here.
He is not. He got on Amtrak
right
because he loves riding it, because he's kind of a man of the people, you know? And he couldn't make it here. There was no Amtrak rail that led all the way here to our beautiful studio.
We told him, Joe, we can fly you down here. And he's like, look, if it ain't train, I ain't coming.
Yeah, so he was real adamant about it. But in his place, we have...
Well, we don't have someone right... I mean, we don't have someone next to us. Let's not mislead you.
Oh, I'm
but
so
he did
sorry.
Hook us up with his good friend, Michelle Obama.
Okay,
who
yeah.
he knows as a coworker. And she's going to come on and talk to us about eating healthy and how yeah. Gilmore Girls eat in a very unhealthy manner.
Yeah, so, Michelle's got a lot of opinions about
food habits
on this show.
So we're going to get into that next episode, 221. Mm-hmm. That's going to be fun.
221, Michelle Obama will be here.
But today it's just going to be us, 220, what? What did you say?
No, 22, I just said 221, Michelle Obama's going to be here.
Yeah. I don't know why you're laughing, that's weird. Perfectly normal. We have high profile guests all the time.
Yeah.
So Michelle Obama will be here for today. Are you okay? What's the deal?
No, I'm not okay. I'm sorry.
Get it together.
I just have dust in my eye.
You're acting like me.
Whoa.
I know. Pretty harsh.
It's more of a criticism of you than it is of me. I don't know what that means.
Look, I'm going through some stuff.
Oh, dude.
I'm kidding.
We'll get on it in the personal section.
No, we won't.
Which time we got an email the other day saying, like, anytime she, this girl wrote in, and she was really nice, and she said anytime she moves something to her personal inbox on email, in her head she goes, personal.
I hope she sings it out loud.
Is that so good?
That's great.
I gotta find her name because it's so good.
But for us, for today, it's just us two.
Just
the
us
Gilmore
two.
Gilmore guys. No guests, but that's fine because we're gonna get into it today.
Oh, that was Patry Thompson.
Patry Thompson.
Yeah.
I like that name.
And then she says, some mornings when I'm choosing what I will wear that day, fashion goes through my head. And really, that's the goal of this podcast, is to be in your
we
guys' heads.
We want to inoculate you guys with messages sent to us by the CIA.
Manchurian Candidate style.
Exactly. Is that what happens in that movie?
Yeah, there's like subliminal messaging.
No spoilers.
No spoilies.
I don't know how far we are into this episode, but...
22 minutes.
22?
Jump Street. Let's give it up to the fans, though. It's all about the fans.
We gotta
do it. We gotta give it up. Demi's picking the beat this time. I'm letting him take the wheel on this, and we'll see how it goes.
Just call me Jesus, because I'm taking it. I'm
Ooh,
taking the wheel.
Ooh, all right.
Nah, I could have said that better.
Call me Carrie, because I got Underwood.
Oh, my God. Underwood. Frank Underwood.
Jesus, take the wheel. What's next?
Is taking all the power. You seize that power from my cold, dead hand. I don't... It's wavering between Foghorn Leghorn and Morgan Freeman.
Which I think is the best part about it.
Right.
All right, so let's give it up to the fans and let's drop Copyrighted by Taylor Swift, this sick beat. Ooh!
How could I choose anything else?
After the Kirk short film.
Beat. Bass. You want to start this off?
Yes, I will. Once I get the names up. Hey, now, yeah.
Okay, I got it.
2, 3, 1, 2, 3, go. While I think of you.
Olivia Herrick, thanks for leaving us a review. It was kind of you. Your last name sounds like Derek. I don't know a guy named Derek, but if I did, I compare him to you. SPHE96, you're really cool and I think you fly. That didn't rhyme, but I don't mind. I think you're swell, you're a hell of a guy. Unlike Kirk, who is a jerk. Kirk is a jerk, left us a review. Hey, Kirk, you're not a jerk. You're just funny and weird, and we love you. Oh,
Casey Hills, you give us thrills. Oh, there's
words. There are words over this instrumental.
Uh-oh. That's going to be very confusing.
I hate YouTube so much. All right. All right, we're going to pause real quick. We're going to choose a different instrumental.
Okay, we'll be right back. So, I guess that's what happens when Demi picks the beat.
Look, they can't all be winners, all right? It's like the Facts of Life theme song says.
Sometimes you give, sometimes you live. That's what you said in the last episode.
Sometimes you choose, sometimes you smooze, sometimes you boo, sometimes you got the facts of life. The facts of life.
My wife, that's the Borat
version. The facts of life.
All right, so let's drop
another. For real, we're going to drop another beat. The four people we've said already, you get to keep that.
Yeah, that's right.
You get an exclusive four-person track, but this one...
That's a straight-up exclusive.
This one, no words. All right, let's do this.
All right.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom. Casey Hills was the last one, right?
Yeah, start Casey.
Okay. Superfluous Sam, you left us some nice words. You make me go damn and drop a little turds out my butt. Cause I'm so excited and I just can't hide it and I can't deny it. Melody KF, you're the best. Kate Mac 08, you're the best as well. You guys are tied for the best. Tied for the best above all the rest, yeah.
Casey Hills, I wanna redo yours, cause yours was cut off by the words of that very last song, but it's cool. You just say we love you almost much as we love E March. Oh, 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 oh.
0000.
That's a lot of zeros, but you're not a zero. You're my personal hero, like Mel B. 060. She's the greatest. I'd really like to know that she would know that that's the latest.
Aron. MC, you are so amazing. There's nothing you can't do. Bad Mother Goose.
New York.
Hey. Bad Mother Goose was actually mean, but I do not mind it. E Harden 5590. Oh, oh no.
Boom, boom, yeah, boom. Fucking K gift. Left us a review. Thanks. Thought I wanna say, hey, thanks for that review, man. Hey, right? This is getting worse. Riley Marie, don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but I just want to say, hey, thanks. You took some time out of your day and you said nice
boom,
words.
Boom, boom.
So, H.M. Solberg, you did the same thing, and I think that's so good.
Rayanne Hart, you don't have a lot of heart for this show. Not for you. You left a one star. You made me fall asleep in my car because I was taking a sad nap from the review. It really got to me in a way that not a lot of things do. I had a breakdown. I'm kind of depressed. I got to talk to my therapist.
New York left us a review and we thank you. Even the mean ones. Now you're in New York. They left us reviews on iTunes. And I will thank you. Welcome to my ass. My ass. My ass.
Yeah. You know what someone pointed out? Laura Godfrey pointed out on Twitter that we actually don't get to see the reviews of other iTunes. So we can only see the American ones because we're in America, in my opinion, the greatest country in the world. But we can't see Canadian reviews. We can't see Australian reviews. Like, not that there's like billions coming in, but there are some, and they're getting left out of the reviews. So Laura was nice enough to put together a list for us that we'll do in a future episode, because I forgot to compile it
today. We can't do three instrumentals for this.
Right.
We got to save them.
We got to save some of the good stuff. And if there is someone like in Australia or whatever the other iTunes places are, I sound like such an idiot. The iTunes places, like the other countries that we might not be able to see, let us know. Like, take screenshots because we literally can't see it. We would do it ourselves if we could, but we cannot. And then you can like email us gilmoreguysshow@gmail.com, and then we'll do all those in like a special rap section for each country or something.
Special international edition. We're gonna sing it all in different languages. We're gonna learn different languages
real quick. We're gonna learn.
Real different language.
Yep. But in lieu of that, and until then, let's get into the episode discussion this time. This is episode 220, Help Wanted. And we'll get into it the way we get into every discussion with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture.
Whoa, I got a little hasty there.
That Louis Armstrong's coming out.
Culture. We take every pop culture reference and put them in a supercut, play it back, see what we can make of it. So this is Pop Goes the Culture for episode 220, Help Wanted.
It's a Barbie's Malibu dream cup here.
Okay, next time, hold an envelope up to your head before you do that.
I am Keith Moon. I am Neil Peart. I am Rick Allen, with and without the arm, because I am rock and roll, baby.
The little locksmith.
You're like the tiny fellow on that MASH program, always anticipating.
Look just like Mickey Hargitay.
So you've been just nooking it this whole time, just sending out for whale blubber and mucklucks?
Dawn Powell? I've never heard of her.
Nobody has, which is a shame, because she wrote 16 amazing novels, 9 plays, and there are some who actually claim that it was Powell who made the jokes that Dorothy Parker got credit for.
I don't know why we're not opening for Rickles.
If it weren't for that Sal Mineo wannabe, believe me, Chachi and Chachi alone will be held responsible for that incident.
This is worse than the clowns in the Volkswagen.
Maybe with the company that's keeping her from having to stand in line for government cheese.
So, let me guess, the Wu-Tang Clan had the office before you.
Did you think it was interesting that Richard didn't question the Wu-Tang Clan reference?
I didn't even realize that until
He wasn't like, who are those fellows?
Oh, yes, RZA, the Jizza, Inspector Deck, Old Dirty, Method Man, Ghostface. Right, I understand.
Did you have a thing?
No, I did. When they dropped the Wu-Tang reference, I was like, that office looks nothing like what it would look like if the Wu-Tang Clan rolled through there.
There'd
like,
be much more graffiti.
It was just like a ton of papers, and yeah. They were like, oh my god.
You know how RZA loves paperwork?
I love paperwork, man. Only thing I love more than paperwork is hip-hop. No karate, I mean to say.
Guys, RZA just walked in and took Demi's seat, and he's going to do the rest of the podcast with me, unless he has something else to do.
Nope.
All right, then here we are. Me
I lied.
And RZA.
I lied. Quentin Tarantino and I are working on Man with the Iron Fist 2.
Okay.
So I gotta go. Peace.
You guys did the first one together?
I said peace.
Okay, well, I guess I'll never get clarification
actually,
on that.
Actually, yeah, Tarantino produced the first one. This is Demi. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, this is Demi, guys. Yeah. A demigod. Has anyone ever made that reference to
no.
you?
No. Sorry, that was way...
Wow.
That was way rude.
That was very sassy. People,
wasn't it? That's me now. New Year, new me.
Loved it. New Year.
I'm going to be saying that until December 31st.
of 2019.
Yeah.
The Netflix synopsis for this episode is Lorelai helps Richard establish a consulting business. Rory becomes angry that everyone blames Jess for the accident that broke her wrist. That's okay.
Yeah, pretty fair.
Yeah. Except her anger isn't central until one of those very last scenes, right?
Until she gets into the argument with Lorelai.
Yeah, I mean, the way people are coddling her in this episode is almost alarming. Like Sean made the point in the last episode, has Rory literally never been hurt before in her life?
I wouldn't be surprised if she hadn't, honestly, because, I mean, when you're hurt as a kid, it's like, I mean, like a baby kid, it's not the same thing. It's like, oh, she fell down, boo-hoo. But like breaking a wrist or something, if you've never done it before in your life, which I believe for someone like Rory who lives in a small town and doesn't really do things. Mm-hmm.
It's, non-active girl.
Yeah, it's probably a big deal for your parents to be like, oh my God, we don't know what to do here.
Mm-hmm.
So... I believe that she hasn't broken her wrist before, but I think it's weird that the entire town is just like, oh my God, you poor child. Mm-hmm. If only we could have done something.
I should have been. It should have been
me. It should have been me. I had more time. I could have saved more of the bones.
Oscar Schindler comes to Stars Hollow. Rory, I have a certain set of skills. Oh, that's the wrong movie.
Yeah. Use the force.
I mean, use the force, Rory. I have a certain set of skills. I hate snakes. That's him.
Yeah.
And then otherwise, all the other references checked out. The government cheese thing, I looked it up because I was like, oh, that sounds kind of funky, but I'm not sure. And it was like Ronald Reagan. It has to do with Ronald Reagan.
I don't know the backstory behind the phrase government cheese, but I feel like I've known what it is, maybe from context, but yeah. Just get the slice of that government cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it now. We get it.
We understand. This is a good episode. I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
No Jess.
I give it 4. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
4.
I know. That was it's part of the gag.
We got a lot of good things to like about it. No Jess. So that's a big plus
yeah,
for us.
Yeah, that was a big plus for me. I will say, since we're still talking about pop culture stuff, kind of, the Sal Mineo thing that Taylor Dossi said... I still gotta mentally.
You got it, dude.
I literally have to write it down as Dossey just so I say it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But when he said that, it kind of put things in perspective for me because I think that.
Right into the
mic.
Can you get more into the mic?
Sorry, I fell asleep just now. I think that kind of puts into perspective why we don't like Jess. I think. Did you like Jess when you were watching the show for the first time when it was airing?
No, I like. And what's funny is. I don't know if I've actually talked about this, is like I talk about I grew up with it. I didn't watch it when it was first on. I remember seeing that one episode in season one first, and then I kind of was intermittent in 2 and 3, but then I started really watching it again season 4, and then watched 1 through 3 again when I was a kid. This is not important to your question at all.
No, it
just
is.
Just a little backstory for us. So by the time I got to the Jess stuff, I was like 14 or 15 years old, and he always did kind of annoy me. I know I was supposed to like him, so it's one of those weird things, and especially when you're kind of like a young viewer, and you're like, I'm supposed to like this, right? Or I'm supposed to be into this guy or that girl or whatever. I was like, it was the thing where I was like, am I missing something? I don't know. I didn't like actively hate him. But then as time went on and I grew up with the show and like rewatching and stuff, that's when I started to dislike him more, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So for me, I feel like he's trying so hard to be like Sal Mineo or James Dean in Rebel Without a Cause, mm-hmm. which is a sort of archetype that kind of doesn't work in a modern context. Like, it's hard to think of this show in the framework of how it was originally aired in 2000 and think, like, I feel like at that time there were a lot of shows that were aimed at teenagers and teen girls, and it's sort of strange to say, yeah, I guess the bad boy archetype sort of still played then, but if it was happening now, I'd be like, that's so funny, I can't possibly take that seriously. And maybe that's how I felt about it, or that's how I would have felt about it if I was watching a show like this in 2000. But I can't see him as a serious bad boy, and I just kind of see this dork almost who's like just a troublemaker, just happens to be good looking.
And maybe that's a meta joke of the show, because I feel like it kind of succeeds in doing the other things that it wants to do in terms of townies. And in terms of, like, Lorelai and Rory's relationship and Lorelai and Emily's relationship, like, it's not a tone-deaf show in general, right? Like, it succeeds in what it's aiming for. So with Jess, it is kind of a goofy thing, like, it is very Rebel Without a Cause and very, like, is that a meta joke of, like, this is what this town would consider to be a bad boy?
Right.
Not a guy who's like, yeah, I love crack, I have 5 STDs, like, you know, like, not that hardcore, but just a guy, like, he makes apples disappear, crashes cars on accident, which the car crash stuff actually changed in this episode. Did you notice that? In the previous episode, 219, they talked about, like, oh, we slammed into a pole.
And did they say pole?
They said pole.
Because I remembered the animal thing, but I didn't know what they hit.
Yeah, the animal was still the same. But then in this one, she says, oh, sorry for wrecking your sign. So I don't know if it was a big crash to Taylor. She said, sorry for wrecking your sign. Damn,
maybe
Taylor.
The sign was on a pole.
Perhaps. Or maybe it was just like, maybe they just got in a car crash and they're like, okay, now's our chance. Let's destroy the sign.
Right.
It was a car crash.
Oh my God, car crash.
So
I hate that sign. Let's go break it.
That was the scene in which Rory was apologizing to Taylor and where we kind of got into the Sal Mineo stuff. And then he closes the conversation with that classic catchphrase.
Now take a peach. They're better than sex.
Can you imagine?
If he said it, I would have been like, oh my God, Taylor Dorsey needs to go to jail.
Now take a peach.
Try a plum. They're better than sex.
Now take a peach.
We could probably edit together sexuality. The soundboards to just be like a conversation between a few people. A town hall meeting.
By the end of this show, I think we'll get there.
Yes, we will.
I've realized that we are ultimately going to have more episodes of this podcast than there are of the TV show.
Yeah.
Because at first we were combining them and trying to do two at once, and it just got exhausting, confusing.
And with all the mailbags.
Yeah, we got the mailbags, episodes. Call-ins, interview shows that are coming up very soon. Not going to say when. No bit zone, but they're occurring. So, yeah, it's going to end up being more than 153 episodes.
In a way, we're working harder than the producers of the show.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right. I think that we're better.
We're better than the Paladinos.
We're definitely better than the Paladinos.
Give us a TV show.
Yeah, the Gilmore Guys TV show. What's the show about? You know, Gilmore Girls.
That's the pitch.
Right.
It's two guys start a podcast about a show that's been off the air for 8 years.
I love it. In every episode, act one, they talk about act one of the show. Act three, they are talking about some other show. Or they are doing House of Cards impressions.
That would be an insane... That would be something that, like, I feel like David Lynch would do.
Okay. Since we're getting meta for a second,
yeah.
I want to thank every single person because these were all great. A lot of people tweeted presidentist things at the show account and at me, and I loved every single one of them. You guys are crazy creative and way funnier than I could have possibly been. They're all good.
The taglines are literally
Robert Francis,
awesome.
I think was his name, mm-hmm. made a poster starring George W. Bush.
Yeah.
We retweeted on the show account, and I retweeted it. Go look at it. It's hilarious.
It's so, so good.
Seriously, I love it. Keep tweeting presidentist things at me. If you want.
So you're demanding it.
I said if you want. I'm just saying thank you.
Also, Those are some rad puppy pictures we got, too.
Yeah. Keep those up forever if you want.
Yeah.
No demand.
Also to me, because I feel like that became a Demi thing, but hey, I love puppies, too.
Kevin doesn't
like
puppies.
I just want to be included. No, not true. I'm way more of a dog person than a cat person. Cats are D-bags. Sorry.
I said, yo, me too.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we concur on that. We got actually a lot of Twitter Q&A for this episode.
Twitter Q&A.
Also, some Facebook Q&A as well.
Facebook Q&A.
Oh, boy. And some of them aren't even questions, but it's almost like people like interjecting.
What? Like on other people's questions?
There's a lot of that, actually. But then there's also people, Amanda Johnson writes, three words, Bunny Carlington Munchinson. Do you remember that name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of the Munchausen part,
Munchausen, yeah.
Yeah, which is that a... Is that saying something? I don't know. Anyway.
I did find it interesting when they went to that different diner. I feel like there's a couple of times this happens in the show where, like, they can't go to Luke's for a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, a falling out or there's drama or whatever. And they always try to go to different places. They go to this weird diner. What's it called? The Hungry Diner. The Hungry Diner. That lady, by the way, looks like she could be Babette's sister,
I was
right?
thinking the same thing.
Right?
At first glance, I was like, does Babette work this diner? They aren't going to mention
it's
it.
It's the community theater aspect of the show.
It's Babette in a wig.
Yeah, she's like Lady Kirk, bunch of jobs.
Do they never eat anywhere else? That's my thing.
Well, that was the thing. Like, Kirk was outside. He's like, oh, my blood sugar. And it's like, bro, go to the market. Go to anywhere. Like,
there can't possibly be one place in this entire town.
No, there's Al's Pancake World. That's the Indian food restaurant where that guy got murdered on the way to Roy's house.
They just have to. By the way,
there was actually, for real, no, a bit zone. There was a deleted scene on the DVD, I believe, of them eating the Indian food. So it did eventually show up.
But for a broadcast, they were like,
He got murdered.
We don't need it. He got murdered.
By the way, Adnan got an appeal. Speaking of murders.
I saw that.
So he's going to come do the show pretty soon.
Well, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
we'll
it
We'll talk
off-mic.
About it. This is an off-mic discussion, all right?
And that's fine seeing Michelle there. Although in the establishing shot of the diner, I don't think he's in the background at all.
He
and then
he's definitely
just magically
pops in,
is there.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the storylines are like, just Lorelai ruined something for Michelle.
Oh, go away.
Basically. and then... So they go to Emily's, or Lorelai goes to Emily's, gets Rory out of the Friday night dinner, and that's when they have those, like, the largy-margy jokes that are kind of weird.
Yeah. Which was, I don't, what are we supposed to think of Margie? Like, I don't, the largy-margy jokes aside, there's a lot of talk about her being, like, the only person that Richard could ever work with. Like,
well, they were definitely boning. Like, sure.
In the context of the world the Paladinos want to create, I'm sure no, they weren't. But yeah, they definitely were.
They definitely were.
Oh, I laughed so hard. This is later in the episode, but when Lorelai is on the phone with Emily and she's like, Richard didn't mention that he was married. Like, that, that whole bit was really funny.
That was awesome. I kind of wanted to, because I believe this was after that movie came out, but you remember the James Spader, Maggie Gyllenhaal movie?
Sex Lives Video? No, Secretary. Yeah.
So what if, like, Richard and his new secretary kind of started a relationship similar to that? I think that'd be an interesting plot. If you haven't seen the movie Secretary, watch it with your mom.
Yeah, I was about to say, ask your parents if you can rent a copy of Secretary from your local
Blockbuster. Like, all of our listeners are, like, 14 or something.
That's old. I was going to make a joke that was going to accidentally belittle our listeners and say, like, no, they're all 8. But no, I know that a lot of you are full foreign adults who will tell us at any moment that we are too young.
That's true. I wonder, though, what the cross-section is. I wonder what our, or I rather the range is. I wonder how old our youngest listener is and how old our oldest listener is.
Ooh.
So if you think you're the youngest one or the oldest one, tweet at us or email. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
If you can even work email, grandma.
If you even know what email is, you whippersnapper.
You little baby.
You fetus.
We've been kind of being hostile.
Yeah, what's wrong with us?
Sorry. We're both going
Do you think Luke is overreacting?
To go fishing and... Well, do you think that's pouting, do you mean? like overreacting how he closes the diner.
Yeah.
And I guess Caesar can't run it for whatever reason.
Yeah. What he, I mean,
he has zero help. Because it does happen in future seasons when they get the guy who actually does play Caesar. Mm-hmm. Like, he'll just say, Caesar, take over, and then he'll, like, leave.
He leaves all the time and just doesn't shut down the sovereignty. He'll come back and just be like, oh, I guess it's open still.
Maybe that was part of the pout. It's like he really wanted to make a statement like, something's changed. I had to send Jess back. I'm pouting.
Him sending Jess back in combination with closing the store, do you think he's overreacting or he's like, I kind of need some time to figure stuff out?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's overwhelmed. Like,
right.
So his relationship with Lorelai was totally threatened by the car wreck and her like losing it on him. Go to hell, right back at you. And so I think it is. He's like in panic mode and he goes into DEFCON 4.
Yeah.
Because he's not really adept at handling his emotions. Mm. And he's not adept at, like, being a great parental figure or dad, you know? So right. I think, yeah, he could have handled it better than he did. I like that Jess is gone, but that's me.
My only problem with Jess being gone is that I know he's coming back. So for now, it's just kind of a thing. No, he's coming back. It's the kind of a thing where him
it's
being
like, get
gone.
To it.
Yeah, it's like, get to it and also... Every moment that he's not on screen is a moment where people have to talk about him being gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of like him not being there means that he's not doing anything actively to make us hate him. And all the time people are just being like arguing for him to be a good person or for arguing for us to believe that he's a good person.
Oh, interesting. Because it does freeze him as a character.
Exactly.
There's no development. It's just what people say about him.
Yes. And all the time that like the townies are going like, blah, 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 he's bad. Our main character is going, no, no, he's good. He's a good person. You kind of have to believe it. So mm-hmm. It's frustrating that it's like, no,
you don't get more evidence.
It's like, yeah, it's like if he were here, he'd prove that you're wrong.
For when we put Jess on trial, ultimately.
Oh, the trial of Jess Moran is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Now, Jess, were you stepping out on Rory after the car crash? That would be.
The plaintiff?
That would be Christina Gutierrez.
Who?
You don't. Oh, come on, buddy. Serial? The attorney on Serial?
I haven't listened to more than one episode of Serial.
Oh, shit. Well, our listeners will know who that is. Hopefully.
Okay.
I think. We'll see.
Edit that out. No, I'm kidding. Okay. I'm kidding.
Well, we're going to take out the first 25 minutes of this episode.
Welcome to Gilmore, guys.
Hey, let's rap. Boop, 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 beep, beep. Where you tweet, I will follow.
White lines.
What if we recorded a podcast that was just a parody of us?
That would be hilarious.
That'd be
and
so meta.
Yeah, but it'd be the kind of, it's like almost... not obsessive, but it's like so egotistical of us to do that for ourselves.
I know. What I actually for real want to do, I might cut this out, whatever. I want to, once we're done with the whole series, go back and do a commentary on episode one of our show.
Oh my God.
So play it back. I'm totally ripping it from you talking, you two to me, but that's okay. They did it and we can do it too.
So it'll be us talking over ourselves?
Yep.
Perfect.
And then we could get like Trolley and Woodham and
oh my God, we get all of our guests and they just be like, wait, what the hell are you guys doing?
Exactly. And we could like confuse everybody. I really liked the Richard storyline here.
I did too, although it made me kind of sad to see Richard so helpless when Lorelai was like, yeah, you don't know what an office supply store is?
And office just going barn. Like,
yeah,
that's where they were.
Yeah, office barn. I was expecting to be like, oh, we'll see a secret Staples logo or somewhere or something, but nope, office barn.
And I gotta say, after watching this episode and then the next episode we're doing coming up, there's so many ways in which Gilmore Girls is like an excellent, extraordinary show. Production design is not one of them. I would say like that office barn was half of a soundstage and they just put up two little cabinets.
Yeah.
Like, and then the places they go in the next episode are just so, oof. I mean, we'll get to
it. I mean, the town square itself is kind of proof that everyone lives on that corner. There's nowhere else to go.
Right. And you don't need it to, like, I don't need it to be
it's
a totally
important.
Accurate rendering. It's okay if it looks kind of like a high school play. It's fine.
It looks
I don't
like
mind
a very
it.
High budget high school play.
Exactly. And then we get that classic Richard Gilmore line.
My goodness, look at all the Post-its.
This episode brought to you by Post-its. Yeah.
And he got some for Emily. That was sweet.
That was really sweet. Yep. But I thought it's funny because I know she uses Post-its. I wanted them to look to the camera. There's so many shapes and colors. I wish I could buy them all.
In her Volvo. You have a Volvo?
But yeah, did you feel weirdly sad when Richard was like just had all that stuff in his office and was just kind of gonna, if Lorelai wasn't there, he was just gonna deal with it and not ever answer the phone and not really know what to do.
And not know how to do the thermostat. I see that being pretty accurate, like pretty true to life of like a guy from that generation who had his secretary do literally everything for him and right. baby him. I think it's totally of that generation, though. Like, I don't think anyone who's starting out now, 40 years from now, would be like Richard. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe. But I think now you have to know how to do
it's
everything.
Still weird to yeah. me that he doesn't know, like, an office supply store or anything. Like, I get that secretary would do that for him, but there hasn't been a time where he is aware of the concept of a store like that.
It's a magical reality that they live in, yeah. I think, where that just doesn't come up. You know? In a way, that he's like the living embodiment of the archetype that he plays, you yeah. know? So it's like, oh, you know, the grandfather, he reads the newspaper and works in insurance. And it's almost like his reality knowledge of how the world works is based off of that. You know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's almost not grounded in a thing of like, well, he knows pins and Post-its and where to get them and how much he would need. It's like, nope. So I did find that interesting. And very, like, his dismissal of Lorelai after that scene with Karen. Or what was her name? Was it Karen? That they interviewed?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
And she leaves, and he's like, well, F Karen, you know, basically.
Right.
And that was very sad, though, when Lorelai's like, I have a job, and I have to go back to work. I can't. Because that was the thing where it's like, clearly he enjoyed having her
yeah.
and thought she was great. And what an interesting shift, too, from Richard in Stars Hollow to 12, when he's like, Lorelai, that's how you talk to people on the phone.
Right.
And, like, what a nice arc where it's like, oh, you're awesome, you know, and he's approving of all these things that she's
did you
doing.
Feel like she was a totally different person when she was, like, in the beginning of that scene where she's on the phone and, like, trying to schedule DSL and cable appointments? I felt like she was a completely different person, like, super professional, like, doesn't, like, has this manner about her when she's on the phone. It didn't feel like she's ever been that way before. I don't know.
I think,
like, I knew she was always capable of it, but we've never seen it before. It's so weird that...
True. And I think it's because she knew she was representing her dad's business.
Yeah.
So I think she kept his perception of her mm-hmm. in mind and was actually very mature about it and didn't
right.
hold a grudge or grind an axe or anything. And so she thought about the things that Richard said in 212. And then because it's not her business, she'll probably end up doing that with – ooh, hit the little Mikey there. She'll probably end up doing that with, you know, her own in you know, continue to do that and talk how she wants and offer to sleep with the towel guy or whatever she did
yeah,
on the
yeah.
phone, the linen guy. But when it comes to representing someone else's thing, like I will answer my own phone in a silly way if I know who's calling.
Right.
But if I'm representing someone else or the people I'm working for, I'm not going to do that.
Right, of course.
You know? So not a totally different person. I get it. You know,
this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Let's talk about Lane in this episode. This is kind of the Lane Kim origin story now.
It is. I know she goes on to form a band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No spoiler, but yeah.
But yes.
People, like some people are being very nice and considerate when it comes to Demi and spoilers on Twitter and stuff. Like, no spoilies, don't tell Demi. And it's like, well, yeah, he knows she's in a band.
There are things that I know just because they are larger things. I don't want specific, like, I don't want, like, oh, dude, this person's going to get married. This person is pregnant or whatever. But, like, if you say, oh, when Lane's in a band, I'll be like, oh, no, I knew that already.
Yeah, so continue to, you know, exercise caution on Twitter. And especially for the call-in shows that we do in the future. Baba Booey, Baba Booey, don't do that. But it's like
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, someone get pregnant. Oh,
oh no. This is the first time we see Sophie, who does come back in a few more episodes. Not a lot, but a few more.
I believe that. That's awesome too.
Which what a great get for them. So Sophie is obviously played by Carole King in this episode, who of course wrote the song "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman."
Mm-hmm. Amongst others.
What others?
I couldn't name one, but she's written others.
Yeah, I think she wrote Locomotion.
Do the Locomotion.
No, she wrote Living La Vida Loco.
Motion.
Yeah. Up and inside up. Living La Locomotion.
Choo choo.
Yeah, great song by Carole King. I kind of like, because I don't think she has a lot of acting experience, and she does great in this, like, for this little role.
It was surprising to me that she didn't have acting experience because it felt very natural for her to be
like a natural woman.
Yeah.
I would say. One could say.
It's not her song.
It is.
Is it really?
That's 100% true. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the last song on her album Tapestry. That was No Bit Zone.
What?
Yeah, girl. I mean, dude. Sorry. Sometimes
it.
I default to girl.
It's fine.
Because that's fun. but yeah, no, she, yeah. You Made Me Feel. But yeah, of course, Aretha made it popular. Let's see. King, I'm looking up her. I don't know if there's really any acting experience aside from Gilmore Girls. Oh, you know what? Okay, let's check it out. This is interesting. In Mary Tyler Moore's show, she played Aunt Helen, season 5, episode 24. She was in an ABC After School special. She had a part on the Tracy Ullman show. All right. And then a few little bit parts in movies, it looks like. But I say it's interesting about the Mary Tyler Moore show because I did find that her acting style in this, and it's a great choice, I really enjoy it, is she's basically just Rhoda from Mary Tyler Moore's Show.
Really?
Like her exasperation and the kind of like New Yorkiness and just like, okay, what do you want to do? You want to play? Okay, blah, 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 da, da, da. And just kind of like the constantly over it, but with a heart of gold kind of thing. That reminded me of Rhoda.
I hope that she's, I mean, I know that she's going to come back more, but I like the subplot of Lane in the... oh my God, why am I losing words?
Music store?
Yeah, in the music store. Just seeing her play the drums and like sort of be like, get this visceral reaction of, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life is so... It's like, okay, I'm realizing as of late, there are a lot of things...
As of Lane.
that there are a lot of things I will see and that involve people playing the drums and like getting in tune with themselves for it.
Like Whiplash,
exactly.
Obviously. Yeah.
Whiplash. And I feel like I'm biased to love them no matter how dumb it might be.
Can you imagine if Whiplash was with Lane Kim?
Dude, honestly, it'd be probably a better movie. No. Here's the thing. Everyone knows that Whiplash is my favorite movie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if it were Lane and she's like having to battle her parents along with this like crazy, I think it'd be a different movie. And I think it'd be one that's more interesting, although the movie that as presented is flawless.
Right. I still haven't seen it.
Ah, dude.
I'll watch it with you.
Let's
it comes
do it.
Out. Gilmore Guys Movie Club.
Gilmore. Anyway.
We don't have a theme song for that yet.
Gilmore Guys Movie Club.
Get the popcorn, yeah.
I was about to say the sound of me chewing popcorn. No, but I think this is because I feel the very same way when I started playing drums in like eighth grade, and I haven't played drums for years consistently, but it was the kind of thing where like for 2 years, it was like all I wanted to do, and I was never part of a band or anything. It was just the kind of thing that's like almost stress relief for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing people play the drums for the first time or like excitedly and realizing that that's like the kind of thing that they love is sort of how I felt every time that I played drums. And I see that and I immediately am like, yes, that's right. That's exactly what it feels like. And so seeing Lane, I assume she plays drums in her band. You don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
But.
And they actually give Kiko drum lessons like for the show.
Oh, really?
So she does actually like she's not syncing it up like it is her.
Yeah.
When they play.
I was about to say because I feel like having your actor play drums for real is way... Like, it's not a difficult thing to do, but it's way more believable than seeing just, like, someone do, like, basic rhythms and have them
totally
do some complicated fill or something.
Yeah, it always looks like garbage
it
when
really
you have
does.
To, like, any time... Or you know what bugs me? It's, like, seeing bands on TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing one of their songs, but it sounds exactly like the album recording from,
yes.
like, 20 years
ago. Oh, my
ago.
God, yeah.
I remember, actually, for real, B&L, Bare Naked Ladies.
The most celebrated all-rock band of Canada.
Was on an episode, I want to say season 4, episode 3 of The West Wing, College Kids. And they played, I might be getting that wrong, but maybe not. But they played It's Been
1 Week.
But it sounded exactly like the album to the point that it infuriated me. Because it's just like... Those guys, they have to get up and they have to sync to their song and get coverage, and they're just syncing to that dumb track. Like, I always appreciate it when it shows performances where it's like, oh, they're definitely playing. I don't know if Buffy did that when they went to the Bronze, but I just always appreciate the authenticity.
There are so many shows on the WB, even now, where they will have a musician appear
on the CW. They still do that?
Oh, yeah. St. Vincent, Kim Gordon.
What were they on?
They have all been on Gossip
Arrow.
Girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and Pretty Little Liars, I'm pretty sure. But they will have musicians
come on.
Well,
Gossip Girl's not on CW anymore.
It's not on at all.
Right.
But like, I guess
that... And PLL is ABC Family, right?
Right.
I'm not trying to pick apart everything you're saying. I'm just wondering
ABC
if, like...
ABC Family, in my head, is the same channel as WB because they do like very similar programming.
It is very like Bunheads, obviously.
Yeah, it's
R.I.P.
the cable version of CW.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love how you just motioned pouring out of 40. but... They have these bands on, and I can't tell if they're playing live until they cut away, and it's the studio recording, like, muffled.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I'm just like, oh, okay, they just brought them on to mime to, like, get in people who, like, are a fan of that band and don't want to see them. It's so weird to me that they use these people as a hook to get them in the show.
Right.
I don't know where I was going with this. I'm very glad Lane's playing the drums. I'm very glad she loves it. It's so cool to me that she's got this thing... this thing now.
That's not Rory and it's not yes. Henry. It's like an autonomous.
It's autonomous, and it's also this kind of thing that she wants to work at because she feels so good mm-hmm. doing it.
Yeah, and it's something we can relate to.
Yeah, and it's like almost this, I wish I could think of a relationship to compare it to from another show, but this sort of, not mentor-mentee sort of thing, but she's going to come into the store after hours and play the drums until she feels... until it's fun, like until it's a thing that she can do confidently. Mm-hmm. Like, that's such a cool dynamic, and I'm glad that Lane is given it. And it's not like Rory wants to learn how to speak Chinese, so she's going to come into the store every. Yeah.
She already speaks fluent Spanish, that's true.
Does she?
Yeah, well, because Alexis Bledel was raised.
Oh, right, yes.
In Spanish speaking.
Which
home.
Is crazy.
Isn't
to
that
me.
Funny? It in is. Houston. Shout out to Houston.
H Town.
My hometown. And then on that, I think it's interesting too, because I'm going through my head. I'm trying to think of a TV show where there is a main story with a character where they learn how to play an instrument. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any, really.
This is the first plot for Lane that is all her.
It's not her in relation to Rory. Her in relation to, yeah.
Yeah, and it's something that I can see is going to go somewhere, and I love that, and I'm glad that they are giving Lane some dimension, even if it is dimension through finding herself almost. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say finding herself, because it's not like she's going on a trip and going to become one with her, but she's like found something that is innately her. It's not influenced by anyone else. It's not influenced by her parents or her friends or her love life. It's her and something that she loves, and it's cool. It's cool to see that.
Totally.
So I'm very happy with that. Such a minor subplot.
And pretty soon she'll be opening the Super Bowl just banging those
right.
skins.
Season 7.
Dude, I will say, like, Bruno Mars, that it was last year, yeah. right? A damn good Super Bowl
yeah.
show. I rewatched that again with a buddy of mine last night, actually. We were like, Bruno Mars is really good.
I'm trying to think
good.
Of the last Super Bowl show that I was like, ugh, about. Like, Beyonce's was fine. Madonna was
2012.
Okay.
I want to say.
Madonna's was, I think. Yeah. I don't recall it, but I remember
Keisha
Bruno
was
Mars.
There. Bruno killed it.
Bruno killed it. I think Katy Perry killed it, honestly.
Really?
Yes.
The More You Know ad?
Yeah. Even the More You Know ad. Even the shark stuff. I can't believe no one talks about this, but there, I mean, with all the stuff that people are talking about from Katy Perry's performance, everyone talks about her dress, her flying across the stage, the shark stuff. No one mentions the, like, weird Alice in Wonderland-style chess dancers when she's doing Dark Horse.
Oh,
they
yeah.
look like these weird, like, Illuminati, like, chess piece figures, and everyone's just like, no, that's cool. Shark! What?
Whoa, what? Shark! Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that whole thing, that's an interesting... It is so funny to see the Super Bowl pendulum swing from, like... Jan Jackson gets her shirt torn off.
Yeah.
Nipplegate, 2004. And then Super Bowl is like, oh, we got to get older people. And then after that, it's literally Paul McCartney, Stones,
no.
Prince. And then it went Springsteen in 2009.
Mm.
We'll talk about that on Bruce Boys in like 4 years. And then The Who, but The Who was so bad in 2010.
They were not good.
And then what is it? Was it Pete Townsend or the other guy? They were jumping up so much you could see it, like their old flabby.
I really want to know.
yeah. Which was definitely pre-recorded. And then Super Bowl was like, oh, it's too old. We got to go young. And then they
No one knows who The Who is anymore.
Yeah, like then they went Black Eyed Peas doing Tron and all
oh
that
my God,
stuff.
I forgot about that.
Ugh, right? And then it went Black Eyed Peas, Madonna, Beyonce, Bruno, Katy.
KP.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's just, I just find it so interesting. Like, it's such a transparent, like, who should we get? I don't know. Like, it's such a, and I'm sure there's, like, sponsorships and commercials.
Oh, yeah. There was a huge thing about whether or not Katy Perry was going to pay the NFL to do the Super Bowl or vice versa.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's so weird yeah. to me. I don't know the business behind anything in the NFL. I'm very recently finding out how, like, fining and stuff works in the NFL, and I hate it so much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so weird to me that this multi-billion-dollar corporation is, like, not – there's any money exchange between performer and venue. Like, it's a huge thing for the performer. It's a huge thing for the venue. Why would one have to pay the other as crazy as they – anyway.
It's weird.
Gilmore Guys.
Well, you know, I mean, listen – we just talked about a bunch of stuff that's off topic, so I think we owe it to people to say, welcome to my ass.
It's been waiting for you.
Welcome to my ass. Welcome to my ass. Well, maybe this will help us get back into the discussion.
Banging the Swede.
What did he say there? Was it banging the Swede?
No, it's bagging the Swede. Because Lorelai goes up to him at the party near the end of the episode. She's like, oh, you got this account. That's great. They have international influence, blah, 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 blah. You bagged the Swede. I keep hitting my damn
I don't know how I missed that reference.
Yeah.
Because when he said that, I was like, I'm not going to rewind. I want to talk about this on the show. I don't know what happened.
That's
fine. And they're being really casual about
willful ignorance about, like, what was that?
Exactly.
I'll find out on
the
air.
No, because it was willful ignorance, but it was willful ignorance of, I'm sure this is normal, but I just want to put it out there. Yeah. That I think what he said was very strange.
Banging the Swede. No, he clearly says
banging the Swede.
Oh, actually it does sound
it like, sounds like banging.
Wait, let me play that again.
Banging the Swede.
Oh no.
It's definitely begging or bagging, but he's got this weird accent of like,
yeah, it's not too clear.
Banging the Swede.
His accent is very much like it's wavering between British and cartoon rich guy.
Right.
Which is
just the Fraser New England thing.
Right.
Yeah.
But it leads to moments like this.
Moments of
banging the Swede.
It sounds more like banging the more I play it.
It's because like in between the A and the G there's this weird N sound.
Mm-hmm.
Where his voice goes down and it sounds like an N.
Hmm. Well, I don't know what quite to make of that.
Who knows, dude?
Please don't make fan art of this moment.
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh,
I don't think anyone would have if we had not mentioned it.
Yeah. Whoops. Well,
Kirk has so many issues with his body. That's almost unrelated, but I was thinking back to when he goes into
my blood sugar. My
blood
asthma,
sugar. Yeah, exactly.
My concave chest.
I have polio, don't you know?
I have STDs.
I'm secretly dead.
I'm secretly dead.
Yeah.
Here's
one thing I want to talk about, because Emily is relegated to a background character in much of this episode.
True.
And the one scene where it's like she's with I guess not the one scene. There's the scene where she finds out Rory broke her arm.
Mm-hmm.
But
you broke your arm?
What happened? But there's a scene in the beginning where Richard is talking, where it's the dinner, and Richard is talking about how he's preparing. It's like, Marge wouldn't do it. And she's like, how ungrateful. And he goes, maybe I shouldn't do it. And he's like, if it's not too late, maybe I can cancel the lease. And she's like, you should call them right now. She flips on him so easily. What happened? Why is she so willing to help him give up?
Do you think she's just like yes-anding him to the point where he seems so crazy? Or do you think she's legitimately like, yeah, it's ruined? Or do you think she's being drama on purpose and knowing like, well, this won't last? Because that was interesting where it's like, yeah, it's hopeless because you don't have this one person
right.
working with you.
I was so
it was
confused
very
by that.
Strange,
it,
yeah.
It made me feel like I was completely unsupportive of Emily in that moment.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why are you doing this? Like, help him. Richard's kind of in a low place. Don't yeah. do this. Help him.
he's in the bad place.
It's very weird when Lorelai has to be the voice of reason with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out for the better because Richard's business is going to, as soon as he begs the Swede.
Well, as soon as he
is done.
Begging the Swede.
Yeah, as soon as that's happened.
In cones.
Then?
In cones.
In cones. As soon as that has happened, everything's fine for Richard, I'm sure. I'm sure his business will go through rocks and whatnot, but right now it's fine. And if he had given up, that would have been way sadder than if he had, like, trudged through not knowing what to do. It's so weird to me that he even thought about giving up because he didn't have the secretary.
Margie can't come, I'm out. Like, it was very, yeah, it was odd. They're just being little drama queens, I think. Because I think maybe from their class position, they're probably used to getting everything they want.
Yeah.
By the way, let's do fashion report real quick. Fashion. In that last scene, it looks like Rory's wearing a blue coat when she sees Luke and she eats that donut, which that was actually a Twitter Q&A.
Can we talk about how that donut is dressed?
Well, someone said, Lauren Elledge Hazanov asked, how old is that donut Rory eats at the diner at the end of the episode?
They're definitely display donuts.
Yeah, because he's been gone for a long time. Yeah. It's questionable. It's questionable.
What if he made them that morning and was like, nah, I want to go fishing?
Never mind. But it looks like she's wearing not a raincoat, a rope, like a bathrobe.
Yeah.
There was that. Not digging, just in general, her blue-on-blue dress in that last act.
It reminded me very much of Romeo and Juliet.
The
blue dress she's wearing.
Just the play or the Leo movie?
No, the play.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's that dress that Lorelai's wearing at the beginning with the dangling blue tassels. And tell me if this makes sense, but Lorelai's makeup seemed a lot, and it seemed really different in that last act to the point where she looked like a vampire from the 90s.
I didn't see that at all.
Really? Yeah. Like, she was wearing that kind of, I don't know what the pattern's called. Someone correct me on Twitter. But, like, kind of yellowy, like spider, not like spiders, like butterflies or something.
Yeah.
She was wearing that dress. But then the way her hair was done and her face, she just kind of looked like a vampire.
I don't know.
Attractive vampire, but a vampire nonetheless.
I went to a bar yesterday and they were playing The Craft
on the
screens. Weird choice, yeah. Right? But all I could think about when I was what scenes I caught of it was like the design of it is very like from the early 90s to mid 2000s, about when Gilmore Girls was on, there's this style of dress and fashion in which they are designing like cool girls, almost the cool girl archetype, and it's evident in The Craft, and I feel like they do the same thing in Gilmore Girls kind of with Lauren Graham specifically. So if there's a vampire thing going on, it makes sense to me. That's like a style of the times and not like specific to Lauren Graham.
Okay.
Well, the show was made 5 years earlier. They'd be like, yo, this looks super weird. Everyone's into, I can't think of fashion from 2005, but that's what's happening now.
Everyone's into wearing their iPods on their clothes.
Everyone's into long hair and Steve Jobs.
RIP, long clothes.
Yeah.
All right, that's been the fashion report.
Fashion.
And then I think some of these Twitter Q&As would be helpful. There was one, a guy named Jeff S. at...
Welcome to Jeff S.
Or it might be Joff. It's spelled G-E-O-F-F. And he's at Cicada Sound. Cicada Sound? Whatever. And it has to do with Rory's taking the blame and feeling bad about the accident. Because people are like, it's Jess's fault, or it's, you know, everyone's blaming him, Babette, who, by the way, amazing backstory on her again. I was in the occult, sugar. I just want to see a spinoff of just Babette.
This one guy, very tan, looked like Mickey Hargitay.
It's so hard being a woman, isn't it?
I guess.
I mean, you got your morals and your standards and your good common sense, and then bam, you meet some guy and all that goes right out the window.
But
for every good woman, there's a dirty little wolf just ready to lead her astray. You can't help it. He's got the eyes, the chin, chest hair you could carpet your dining room with. I mean, what's a woman to do? We're not made of steel, for God's sakes.
Babette?
I was in a cult once, did I tell you that?
No.
I met this guy once, gorgeous, tan, looked just like Mickey Hargitay. We had coffee, he gave me a pamphlet. Next thing you know, I'm wearing a muumuu, playing a tambourine, jumping up and down at the airport.
I want to see her tuck and rolling, I want to see her in the cult, I want to see all of that. Someone pointed that out, actually, on, I think it was on Facebook, like, I want to see the Babette spinoff. But Jeff says, I think Rory's quest to take partial responsibility for the accident is feminist at its core. She wants to express she had power in her interactions with Jess. For this reason, I find Rory's freak out and ensuing resolution inspirational, which I think is a really interesting take.
She says something very important, which is that she feels like everyone is making her out to be this victim, and like she was at, like, her pain is at the result of some guy. And I think in that vein, I very much agree with what his analysis of it being kind of a feminist thing. But when I'm looking at, like, all the facts and stuff, I do kind of think it was Jess's fault. Like, I mean, like, I think Rory is somewhat faulted, but I feel like it was Jess driving. Rory didn't, like, jump out and grab the wheel or anything.
Yeah, she wasn't, like, you know, playing with him or anything. Right. They were, maybe they were. Maybe they cut that scene out.
Look, you know, you want to know why the car crash happened? It's because I was playing with his damn dick. I was playing with his damn dick and it got distracted, and it's my fault. No.
And if that was the reveal, that would be...
The entire town would be like, his dick, we should send his dick back to where it came from.
Set it on fire. So if that was
that boy's dick is up to no good. I'm Taylor Dozy.
Well, that was his other question, Jeff. He said, I think deep down Taylor is hopelessly in love with Jess because he epitomizes all the chaos that stimulates him as a fixer. Isn't that an interesting theory? I thought that was really funny. And then, of course, we have to give it up to Poop Doctor.
Poop Doctor.
Wherever he or she... Whoever she, please.
Wherever they.
Yeah.
Whatever. Well, let's keep it genderless.
A mystery?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll call it to the con show, Poop Doctor, and we'll gab with you.
Poop Doctor, we'll give you a secret. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, dang.
Secret number. No, I'm kidding.
Secret number. Poop Doctor writes, if you were Carole King, would you have kicked Lane out of your store? I would have. She's broken annoying.
Yes. If I were Carole King, I would have, but I'm glad that she didn't.
Because she was Sophie. Trick
right.
question. No, just kidding. No, yeah, I because you want, because that's future business and that's an investment. So
is it future business? It's future business for a single drum kit.
Maybe. I mean, well, we'll see. We'll see how the story goes.
I mean, like, in my head, if I were Sophie, okay, Sophie is a good person, so she obviously would not have done that. In my head, if I were a business owner who's like, I need to close up, I'm sorry, come back tomorrow is what I would say.
Right.
I'm super sorry, come back tomorrow during the day or come back some other time. Like, yeah. I feel
reasonable.
Like the closer it is to closing time, the less of a leash you have for that kind of stuff. Leash is probably not the right. Anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of anti-feminist, Demi.
Ugh.
If you guys don't think Demi's a feminist, tweet at him, at Electra Lemon. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. I meant to say at... where is it? Oh, at
Electro Lemon.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And then this comes from Paige Penrod at Paige Penrod. She says Luke is the only one who treated Roy like a normal human being, or like a normal human, until he offered her a 3-day-old donut. But that is an interesting point that everyone's like, oh my god, blah 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 blah, right. blah. And he's the only one that's like, sup, you know, and not like, oh, are you okay, you fragile little thing? And
right.
he loves Roy, so it's not from a place of uncare. But it is interesting that he views her as like,
it's him
you
wanting,
okay, cool.
Exactly. He knows that coddling her will not make her comfortable because he knows her. So he is doing everything in his power to make her comfortable, even if that means pretending like he's not worried about her.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah. That's
because I don't think he's truly not worried. I think he's just like, You're a grown adult. You know what you've
kinda.
Got.
This. She's 17, but well, you're grown. Yeah,
you are smart. You've got it. Like, you've got a handle on stuff. You can handle this. You don't have to have me go, are you okay?
Mm-hmm. True. Totally concur. Oh, no, I got to find a Dean question.
Why did Lane buy those drumsticks?
So she can bang on the pots and pans at home.
But she can't because they're hidden in a plant out front.
Oh, that's true. That was a fun little camera move when she's like, I'm rock and roll, puts the drumsticks in the plant, sings yeah. choir, which is Emily Crota, Mrs. Kim's only thing she does in the episode is just sing.
Mm-hmm.
But she still got paid the bucks for it.
I was about to say, she probably isn't upset about it.
That's still SAG, baby. Madeline Claire on Facebook writes, if Jess supposedly is into Rory, then why would he leave without saying anything at the end? I think that's just his style. He's like, see you, peace, no words.
I came to this town adrift and I'm leaving the same way.
I'm going to make myself disappear. The
My
greatest close-up
always...
magic trick of
yeah.
all.
Hey, Rory, is that a quarter behind your ear? Well, in front of your ear, there's nobody.
Emily Sutherland writes, who do you think is really at fault, Jess or Rory? I think it is technically, on an insurance claim, it's Jess's fault.
Right. It's yeah. it's a 75-25
yeah.
sort of thing.
One thing we didn't actually cover... I'm surprised, was, actually, Maria Trescalos, sorry, Maria. She asked, my question is, how can they get into an accident so bad it breaks someone's arm when the town is literally 1,000 square feet and it looks like the speed limit is no more than 25 miles per hour?
Because Jess found the one stretch. I imagine they went into the town square where it's just like a big old circle and they were just drifting the whole time and then they hit a pole.
Or a pole with a sign on it.
Also, look at the front of the car. It's like smashed in, kind of. It's smashed in a way that like the driver should have been killed.
I know.
And
I wish he was.
Somehow. I don't wish death on Jess. I just want him to get out of here.
I don't wish Jess on. I don't wish Jess on death.
I don't. I definitely don't wish.
No,
Jess
I don't
on
wish death.
Death
on Milo Ventimiglia, Lady Gaga. But I could do without the Jess character. Whatever. It gets interesting. Whatever. I'm trying to have a more open heart about it. I really am.
I am too, because a lot of people that I respect like Jess.
Yeah.
And I'm just like
Allie.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm just trying to be like, where, what yeah. do you see?
Let's just continue, Demi, to have an open mind, an open heart.
Are there
lose.
Any, here's my question, and this isn't, I'm trying not to be sexist when I say this. Are there any guys out there that like Jess? Because I want to hear from you about what it is that you think. Because I feel like a lot of the time, women come in from the perspective on Jess of, he's the bad boy that you date when you're young and you learn from
it. It's necessary and it's something you go through.
Exactly. And it's like he's an attractive guy and I get that. But, okay, I met someone yesterday and I was talking with them about Gilmore Girls and they were like, my favorite character is Jess. And I was like, why? And he's like, they said, oh, I don't know. He's just attractive. I don't care about his personality. He's mm-hmm. attractive. And they know.
He's a good looking dude. We can both agree to
yeah,
that.
He's good yeah. looking. And I think they also know he's going to pass and Rory will get past that and it'll be fine. And him being past that is part of the thing that you know from the very beginning. You're not going to be like, oh, yeah, he's in it. She's in it forever. But he's going to be past, and then Rory will have come out of it a more full person.
Totally.
So I think it's maybe important to see it from that. But if there are guys out there that like Jess, write to us, and I want to hear what you think.
Yeah, write us emails. It's like, don't put it in a tweet where a lot of nuance can get lost. Like, write an email. Write a long
If you want
to
tweet,
email.
Use a lot of emojis.
Yeah, or just make it like a 17-part tweet.
Yeah, boy. At
GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. We didn't talk about Dean's reaction at all.
Oh, yeah.
To find out about the car. So let's go over that real quick before we give our ratings. So she gives him a letter saying what happened, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
Jess was driving, blah, blah, blah. So funny. Like, also, I think that's the only time we see Dean's dad, by the way.
Did we see him? See him?
No, not really. He's just like, sup. And it was just a dude walking into the house.
Oh, okay.
That was who that guy was.
No. I missed that part entirely because my thought was, is whoever dropped off Dean just idling in the car out front?
No, he went inside.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how I miss key things.
So Rory gives him a letter and says, presumably everything that happens, he's like, he feels the need to comment like every other sentence.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you too. Oh, Rory, that is your name. Yeah. And then it starts going, what?
Keep reading.
What?
Keep reading.
What?
Keep reading.
And then he gets real aggro on his little duffel bag.
That was the saddest kick I've ever seen.
Ooh,
it was like,
great.
God, it was like something from Napoleon Dynamite or something, because he just kicks a bag and it rolls over like onto its other side, mm-hmm. and he's just like, it feels like he put all of his force into it, and his limbs just go flailing wildly.
Yeah, not great. That's why
he's got anger issues.
When I get angry, I tend not to throw things or kick things because I'm always afraid of looking like that.
Yeah,
or something like that.
That's the reason. That's the one reason.
That's the one reason that I control my anger. And I deal with it by speaking, by feeling and dealing.
I do drugs. Anyway, no, I'm kidding.
Oh, I also, just before we go, I liken that interview with Karen or whoever the new girl's name is. Richard's just like, oh, yeah, okay. It's just like him again at the school.
Yeah,
meeting.
Yeah.
He's just like,
Richard makes it very apparent when he just couldn't, he wishes he was anywhere else.
Yes.
I was surprised that Luke actually did go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that it wasn't just like, I'm crying in my room or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a dude. That's how he deals with it. He goes
some
fishing.
Water.
Let's wrap it up.
Richard's office looks like a captain's quarters on a ship.
Okay, that was one thing I did write down.
He's into maritime law.
That production, again, the production design, there's just a bunch of meaningless bullshit on his desk.
We need a gold telescope. We need a map of the world.
No,
we
you
need
don't.
A globe. We need a car from Dick Tracy. We need a ton of books, dude. We need
so
everything.
Dumb.
I was thinking about all the stuff that Richard has to do with regards to having his secretary get him stuff. Like the stuff that Lorelai was doing, I was like, this seems like a job for multiple people. I don't know, mm-hmm. of like someone having to take the phone and like do a schedule and get lunch and stuff and then also grab books for him when he's like, I need this.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that was just because the office wasn't sorted and usually he would be able to grab it himself. I don't know. It seemed like the kind of thing that it's like, oh, I have a secretary and also an intern who's into business or something.
Right. Not maybe Christopher will be his intern because he's all about business.
He's all
baby.
About business.
Oh, come on now.
Nondescript business.
What do we give this episode?
I give this episode 8 out of 10 beat up duffel bags.
Shaq who?
I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 too. Like, I was thinking it was going to be a 7 out of 10er for me.
It's a good episode.
But it's like everything works. Like, I like the Richard Lorelei stuff. I like that. I like everything about it. So I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 peaches.
Now take a peach.
Or 8 out of 10 Swedes.
Banging the Swede. Banging
it really the is. Swede. He's saying banging the Swede.
Banging the Swede.
Banging the Swede. Hey.
Nice chicken.
Mucho mac and cheese.
This is the sound Richard would make while banging the Swede.
Oh my God.
Dude, stop it. Stop it.
There's the explicit rating. There it is.
There we go. Sorry. No, I didn't mean to go
it's
too blue.
Oh, Richard, stop it. Stop. I don't know what accent that is.
Mr. Richard.
No, that's definitely not the accent.
I'm just doing Sofia Vergara now. Mommy Jane. She's a high-paid actress on TV. If that doesn't depress
Modern
you,
Family.
I don't know what would.
Doesn't depress me, but I just think what depresses me more is that Modern Family is a good show that can get better and is okay with being...
Not great.
Yes. Yeah. It's okay with being so mediocre.
Yeah.
But it's almost mediocre in a way that was refreshing for a while, and now she's like, okay.
It's the Jess Mariano of TV shows.
It's the Jess Mariano of TV shows.
It's secretly a genius, but it just needs to apply itself.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do the Where You Tweet, I Will Follow segment.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I?
Whoa.
Sorry, I just...
La, 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 personal. No, okay.
You can follow me on all the things. Instagram... Twitter at Kevin T. Porter. So that's where I am. Where are you, Dims?
I actually just changed my username on a lot of things. You can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, and on just Twitter and Instagram at Demi Lovato.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
I got verified. I'm singing now. You can check all those things out. And then I guess if you want, you can follow my personal accounts on Twitter and Instagram. Other things at
Electro Lemon.
Electro Lemon. If I see him going
so
through the
bummed out.
No, I'm not bummed out. It's just like I see you going for the button. I gotta play like I'm mad about it.
Yeah. Okay. Come on now.
Shaq Ho.
So
now take a peach.
So
in comb.
Then.
My goodness! Look at all the posters.
Now take a peach.
We have too many.
We have
sound
cookies.
Words.
Would you like cookies?
I have my ways, young lady.
I
have the buzz. Banging the Swede.
Now that's a sentence right there.
I have the buzz. Banging the Swede.
What were you just about to say?
I don't recall.
You can email us.
Oh, yeah. Make us fan art of Shaq Ho.
No.
He says so.
No.
Shaq Ho. Like, make fan art of Taylor and Shaq.
Make us fan art. That's
B-ball.
A lovely way to spend your time, but it's by no means a demand.
Demi's demanding it right now. Follow the show. At Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter.
At Gilmore Guys Show.
Email
on
us. GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com.
Gmail.com.
Facebook us. Facebook.com/GilmoreGuysShow.
Facebook.
Follow us on Instagram. At Gilmore Guys Show on Instagram.
Instagram.
And then you can also call our name. I think that's what we're going to call the call-in show. Like, call our name. Or call my name.
Call my name.
Yeah.
And say my name.
Did you like how he pimped out that character already for the Super Bowl ad?
I was surprised it didn't happen earlier. I'm okay with that happening.
He's already in the Robert De Niro phase of his career where it's like, remember that great thing I did? Here's me making fun of it.
Or the Al Pacino phase.
Yeah.
Hoo-ha!
The Dunkin' Donuts thing. Oh my gosh.
Boy. Jack and Jill.
Call the show. 772-934-4559. 772-WEE-GILLY. Leave us a voicemail. We'd actually like to, like, at some point, like, mix up Twitter and Facebook Q&As, but also voicemails that you guys leave. Like, if you want to leave, like, concise voicemails, or we can cut them down, of, like, questions you might have about a particular episode we're doing, or we might in the future do a call-in show specific to an episode. So be on the lookout for that. We'll post that stuff on our Twitter. But call anytime, any day, and you can always leave us a little voicemail, leave us a little love. So I think that's it, right?
Yep.
Okay. We can kill ourselves now.
It's time to walk forward into the sea.
That is such a funny image to me. It's just walking into the sea.
Just until the tide overcomes our heads.
So here's our theme song while we're walking into the sea.
You're out on the road. The sea is so lonely. It's and so cold.
It's freezing.
All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there. On the next train, choo-choo, where you lead.
In the sea,
I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you,
I'll
follow. Oh, 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 where you lead.
Take a peach.
I will follow.
Mucho nice mac and cheese.
Anywhere
a bang,
that
a sweet.
You tell me.
I have the buzz.
You need to be with you.
I will follow.
Bang wants cookies. We've got cookies.
I like that song.
Goodbye.